This is March 1st, 1998, right?
Yes, sir.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
Noon. So we appreciate you taking time to come out on a Sunday, especially when you're running for re-election to the city council in Plainview.
That's right.
So why don't we start there? Why don't you tell me why you're running for re-election, who your opponent is, if any, and do you have term limits, what do you expect to accomplish, and that sort of thing.
Okay. You know, again, here I'm running for re-elections. It's going to be my second term. The first term was I was elected in 1994. It's something that I got motivated, something to make changes. But the community here in the city of Plainview, as we got single member district, that's the only way we could get into being a city council, because at large was kind of difficult. Pero ahora que cambiaron todo el charter y cambiaron the precincts, now with the area, everybody, I say everybody means black, white, brown, can be elected for a council member. So I gave it my 110% at the try in 1994, and le gané un bolillo que ya tenía como 6 años allí. And it was tight. I won with about unos 25 votes, and you know, because el estilo de down from the valley, Brownsville, Texas, because that's where I was born and raised. We go knock on doors, y ahí por las calles dando los folletos y explicándole a la gente lo que queremos hacer. So, I mean, I got that idea from my father, because, you know, my father was a lot of supporter and good politicians I had. So I got that idea, I put it in place, it worked, and I won. Ahora que hemos ganado, hemos hecho muchos cambios en la ciudad. Que hay mucha discriminación y hemos tratado de poner programas donde pueda haber muchos hispanos oportunidades en diferentes oficios, títulos, ¿verdad? Hemos tenido primero first Hispanic female as a judge for casi los últimos 40, 50 years. I mean, we make history here in the city of Plainview, porque es la primera hispana juez que hemos puesto. Y eso fue el año pasado. And you know, this is what we're all about, is to making the changes right for toda la gente. One of the things that I do, you know, como hispano, and there's 8 members on the city council, 7 council members, and the mayor himself, y estamos 2 hispanos nomás, y los demás son 6 gringos. Y es un poco difícil de traer cosas, cambios así rápido, porque el voto no está ahí. As you know, the majority carries. Pues siempre nosotros dos hemos votado con la señora Irene Favila. She's the first female Hispanic elected to the city council también. Her and I, we're trying to change a lot of things, and it's kind of difficult when you got 8 members and 6 of them are white people and 2 of them are Hispanic.
I thought there was a black city councilman.
Yeah, he was, but he retired. He retired. He retired in 1997 también. He called it quits.
And they elected a white person?
Right. They elected a white person on his place. Y esa es la cosa triste que aquí en Plainview, you know, no sé si el ambiente de la raza está fuerte. Hemos notado que los últimos 5 o 6 años hemos hecho un cambio, porque hemos registrado mucha gente cada año de 400, 500 personas, y hemos hecho historias. Por la misma razón también hemos elegido el primero mexicano en County Commissioner.
That's Mario Martinez.
That's Mario Martinez.
How long has he been in?
He's running for re-election también. He's in for 4 years también, igual que yo. Pero he's with the County Commissioner. He's seeking re-election también, y es el que estamos apoyando y ayudando. Nosotros hemos hecho, Irene Favila y nosotros, hemos hecho cambios, en otras palabras.
Let me ask you to talk the way you're comfortable. I mean, if you want to continue in Spanish, it's fine, but it's easier for me if we stay in English.
Okay.
But say it any way you want to, okay?
Okay.
When is your election date?
It's going to be May the 2nd. May the 2nd is going to be the election day. And the reason I'm running for re-election here is because I know that I can do a lot of changes. Let me tell you what they got up here. Since I was doing a lot of good here, the mayor, and I call it the Dotson and Browning Committee, who wants to seek me out. So they got this Hispanic person, que se llama Wally Chavez. He's kind of young, inexperienced, pero he always goes with the flow with the white people. And, you know, it's kind of hard that, you know, we're trying to make a change and you put another Hispanic to run another Hispanic. When we're doing good, you know, we ought to just go ahead and let the other person. But, you know, when I found out that the Browning and Dotson committee are trying to seek me out and supporting this Wally Chavez, he said, well, that's good, that's good. At least I got him scared, you know, to me. But when he made the announcement, Wally Chavez, you know, I like this because 10 people, 8 went and called me on the phone and said, hey, Ray, don't worry about it. We'll support you. You got any flyers, posters, anything, come up here to the office and post it in my office. They said, 2 of them went to my house and they said, hey, Ray, I'm going to help you like last time. We're going to go door to door. We can do it. You got nothing to worry about. This guy is a coconut. He only going to follow what the lead wants for them to do. And, you know, we need you back in the board. And one of the reasons that, you know, I'm seeking re-election again because I'm going to try and make some changes on the city charter. You see, they put us some term limitation. Before the city charter, you know, before they elected Irene and myself, the city charter was remained. You can be council member for 20, 30 years. As long as the people chose you, you could be that time. But when they saw that in 1998, this year, that was 2 years ago when they changed the charter. This year, 1998, we were going to make history because 4 precincts were going to be Hispanic. Precinct number 1, precinct number 2, precinct number 3, which I'm serving precinct number 3, and precinct number 7, which is Irene Favina. So the white people got together and got a study committee and said, hey, let's go ahead and do this because we know by 1998, the Hispanic are going to carry the board. So they made the changes, the study committee. And again here, who was the study committee? A bunch of illegals, white people, no Hispanic, no black people on the study committee. And who was on the study committee? Old timers, people 60, 70 years old, people that still want to hold the city to themselves. They don't want to let it go. Discrimination is there. They still want to control the city. So when the study committee suggested all of this, it was going to be up to the people to vote the change of the charter. So when we look into the charter, boy, there was a lot. They wanted to give the mayor a vote, which the mayor could only veto in case of a tie. So the mayor wanted to have a vote. Term limitation was going to be changed. And also there will be changes in like if somebody didn't like the way I was conducting, they could impeach me or get me out, a petition. I believe it was 10% out of whatever the people would vote. I mean, that's too small amount. That means we're going to be having an election every year if nobody would like what I say. You see what I'm saying? So when they done this, again here, they put it up to the people. So the commissioners for the study committee were going to be elected at large. And that was wrong. Because at large, the Hispanic or black people would never win anything. Because the majority of people who go out and vote would be the white people. How come they didn't do it by precincts? Like have 2 people from each precinct and make the best man win? Nah, they done it at large. So here again, the commissioners, 11 commissioners were white people that were elected to go ahead and recommend to the city, this is what we want. So they did. As a council member, I said that was wrong. So we done another committee, a subcommittee or Hispanic and black people, so they can go out there and voice their opinion. The commissioners didn't like that. The council member, we approved that. Yes, you are going to have another committee there appointed by the council. So we got 3 black, 4 Hispanic, and they were out there all the time. How did they conduct the meeting? Boy, that was pretty bad. You should have seen. They had a round table with all the white people, and all the Hispanic and black people were sitting in the back. They would not give them time to answer questions or ask questions. That was pretty sad. I was out there for 3-4 meetings. I said, no, this is not right. So I came back to council and the mayor and told him, hey, look at here, this is wrong. And the mayor was the one who was supporting this issue. Yes, the mayor wanted to have both term limitations because they knew that we were going to be. So anyway, they brought it back to the city and we lost. We lost with 35 votes. Man, this is a beautiful part because precinct 1, 2, 3, and 7 voted against it. We came out ahead, but as majority, we lost with the other 4 precincts. So the charter was in effect, term limitations now. That's right, I'm running for re-election. That'll be in the second term and I'll be out. Then somebody else is gonna have to run in my place. The mayor has a vote now. So you see, 1998 was gonna be history for us, but they blocked it. They're about two steps ahead of us. And that's one of the main reasons that now, as a council member in re-election, I know what's going on. I want to run for re-election again to make the changes, because after 2 years, the charter was in effect. We can go in and try to amend or change and bring it back to the city.
Are there any Hispanics running in District 1, 2, 5, 6?
No. There's no Hispanic except myself for Precinct 3. We've been trying to get people to run for Precinct 1 and 2 because those are two Hispanic precincts, and we don't have people that wants to.
What's the problem?
The problem is no confidence in leadership. They feel like the people is not going to go out there and vote. But that's not the point, because I've been out there in Precinct 3, I've been Precinct 1, Precinct 2, to try and get some votes. Because I'll tell you one thing, we do need a change here, and we've been telling the people in Precinct 1 and 2, you got a good chance like I had the chance 4 years ago. If you never try it, you're never going to accomplish anything. But I guess mainly I think it's the leadership. They feel like they need to be educated, they need to be more involved with the city to know what's going on. But that's not the problem. Everybody gets a problem, everybody belly aches about the problem, but nobody wants to do something about it.
Does it help that you have your own independent business?
Yes. It helps a lot because there's no pressure. There's no, if I do something wrong, people are going to quit my business or not give me enough business. I'm also employed with the USDA Federal Grain Inspection Service for the past 12 years. So that helps me a lot because I work for the government. I don't work for the public. So anytime they want to do something against me, they can, because I'm working for the government and I'm self-employed. So I'm getting graded for myself, for self-employed, for the same reason when the government shuts down, because I know that the government has been closing every year departments. So I'm getting my business up. For the past 2 years, I've done bail bond, janitorial service, and a mail route with a highway contract route with the post office. So you see, I'm being self-employed, and I think a lot of people got to get that initiative that we can do something on our own. We don't have to work for somebody else. We can work for ourselves and be an employer, just like all the employers that we got here in City of Plainview.
Do you think that might be a problem for some of these people who don't want to run, that they'd be afraid of economic sanctions?
Yes, it is true. I had a friend of mine, and he's a Hispanic, Martin Molina. He wanted to run for Precinct 2, but where he works, they can rebuttal, because the board, the commissioner of the housing, and you know, we're having a problem right now with the housing because they sold 5 houses, and I challenged that, Irene challenged that, and boy, they're coming under a lot of heat. So Mr. Molina works for them, so that's the reason that he said no, they might rebuttal, I might get fired. I've been working here for the past 7 years, and I don't want to continue any of this. I'll support you, I'll vote for you, I'll do whatever I can, Ray, but I cannot run for council member.
How about in terms of raising money for these elections? Do the people cooperate? How do you raise money? How much money do you spend?
A lot of the Hispanic, and this is a beautiful part, a lot of Hispanic are helping me out by going door to door, passing out the card. As far as donations, I do have some approximately 8 or 10 business that are supporting me, and donations are pretty good. I got no problems on the first time, and the second time I got no problems either.
How much money do you spend?
Less than 500, not more than 500. I'll be lucky if I spend over $500. Last election, it took me about at least $300, $300 to $400. So this election, I think we might spend about $500.
How much is that out of your own pocket?
Out of my own pocket, I say about $200. $200.
What do you spend it on?
I spend it more in advertisement, like TV, cable. I put my $75 a month. Then I run some newspaper ads. And then I also do my own business cards. So I'll write everything down for politics in there. And then that's where the people, posters, and everything will come in. I got my own equipment. I bought my computer, scanner, everything. So I'm doing all my own posters. So that helps me a lot in saving money.
What's the name of the local newspaper?
Plainview Daily Herald.
How do they treat you?
They are racist. They are racist. The Plainview Daily Herald. Let me tell you about a reporter, Richard Orr. That man is racist. One time we were conducting a city council meeting, and he didn't write a story that he should have wrote a story. It was a council member attacking another council member, an elderly lady, put her down, made her cry, and the reporter never made any statement on the paper. So I approached the man as I, we were conducting a meeting, and I told them, man, you know, there was a, an incident that happened last week on the work section, and the Plainview Deli Herald was out there, and they didn't cover that. So I was saying this live because we do it on TV program also. It comes out every Monday for the community to watch this. So I was saying that out loud. And he kind of asked me a question, well, what you think the story would be? I said, a story would be two council members getting attacking one another and made them cry. He said, that council member should have known better. There's no way you can insult a council member. There's no way you can threaten a council member just because she was a female and elderly person. I said, he took advantage of her, and you should have wrote something. So he didn't like because I made my remark after I was getting down from the chamber. I was walking down. He came up here, got close to my face and said, hey, well, I don't like that kind of words you're saying. I said, hey, that's your own business. Hey, well, get away from me. Don't you get close to me. And pushed him because I gave him three warnings, and the city manager was there. I said, get away. Get off my face, because he was too close to my face, and he did it. So I pushed the man. I called for security, because we do have security in the council. I called for security so they can come and take the reporter out. Well, this man doesn't like me anymore. This man, not because of that incident, because a lot of truth that I bring in now. I don't cover for the city council. I don't cover for the mayor. I bring it out what the public needs to know. The public needs to be aware of all the incident that happens in the city with the employees, all no employees. With the police department, fire department, I don't care what department, if there's an issue out there, the citizen needs to be aware, I'm bringing it out. A lot of times there's issues, hot issues, like we're talking about housing, police abusing citizens where they arrest them, pointing guns at little kids, calling them gang members. Yeah, I do understand we got a problem with the juveniles here, but there's no reason for them to bring out any guns and point them at their face. They're scared. There were three incidents personally that I know and attacked the police department. Richard Orr, again, the Plainview Daily Herald reporter, only writes what he believes. I got some cassette tapes where he's kind of questioning me a lot. A reporter is to ask questions and write the story, right? This man wants to make the story, whether you like it or not. And then puts on the bottom on the remark, Mr. Rosa's council member was not available. And he doesn't make an effort to get in touch with me because he knows what my reply is. We do have an ambulance journal from Lubbock, Texas. They call me up here, Ray, this incident happened. You got a remark? Yes, sir, I sure do. Boom, boom, boom. And they post it. It comes on the Lubbock paper. But the Plainview Daily Herald, Rosa's not available for comment. And they done to me that more than five times. I brought it out to the city editor. And he said, I'll correct it. I correct it. I got some tapes that I'm going to take out there to them so they can see how his reporter, Richard Orr, is conducting business. He is not a reporter. He is not. He writes his own story, whatever he feels, and he gives one side of the story only.
So when you advertise, you advertise in that newspaper or
that is correct.
You put it in there?
Uh-huh.
Because that's the paper that everybody reads?
Correct. But this year I'm going to do it differently because, let me tell you what happened, because of that incident that happened a lot of times, not more, again here five times, I boycott the Plainview Daily Herald. I used to have it every day. I bought the paper for the whole year prescription, but I boycott. I'm not buying that newspaper no more. There's the news comes out there, people call me, they fax me, but I'm not buying the newspaper. I am not going to advertise on that newspaper. I'm going to go with the Triple Nickel. I'm going to go with Lubbock. I'm going to go somewhere else because this one person, again, I'm by myself, I'll boycott what I don't believe is treating me fairly. And I wish other people would do the same thing here in the city of Plainview.
How about the relation with the police? How do you get along with the police?
We do have a new chief of police, and this is a very good issue here. Last year, earlier of the year, we had a big problem with the chief of police out here. He had a lot of, let me put it this way, let me break it down. There were five people in the family that worked for the city of police. The chief of police was related to the judge, girlfriend, boyfriend. They had an affair. He was not married. She was divorced. The judge, brother, Carl Holland, was the superintendent for the park and in charge of the service center. Then he had his son working for the police department. Then he had his daughter working for the personnel. So he had five people in the family that working for the city for many years. When I became aware of this, I brought it out to the council. I said, hey, look at here. That's why people don't want to complain. People bring to the complaint to the policeman, there's his son. They want to bring a personal problem, there's the daughter. If they're going to complain to the judge because the police were treating them unfair, well, he tells his boyfriend, the chief of police, and boyfriend would kind of correct the problem. But no, he would not correct the problem. Let it go. Make it work for the person who was making complaint. Or vice versa, you see what I'm saying? So this is the thing, a problem. So Irene and I, we started working on the decision. We put the chief of police on probation. We got rid of the chief of police. We got rid of the municipal judge. After we got rid of them, they got married. They got married. After I was telling the city manager for about a year or more than a year, look at here, they're having an affair. You cannot, a municipal judge and the chief of police, two directors. That's a lot of hinky-panky going on. They're off every time. They go together every time. They go training together all the time. I said, no. City manager, they don't want to see that. But after we got rid of both of them, they got married. Then we got Carl Holland, another person, he retired from the city. Another person that I caught and saw with my own eyes stealing from the city. City property, refrigerator, riding lawnmowers, tools, because the man was in charge of the park, he was taking a lot of things. I caught him. People would call me. Anonymous callers tell me, give me tips. I went to his house in the backyard. I went out there, found it, came back, and told the city manager, told the mayor, hey, look at here, let's go. This man has a lot of equipment. Now, the mayor and the city manager, they didn't want to move. So, okay. After that, I made my complaint, somebody looked into it. And the only reason was because the chief was there, his brother-in-law, okay? But guess what happened this year? The man was caught. The man was caught stealing, and he's fired. He stole approximately $8,000. They gave him 5 years probation. So he's gone, the son moved, and the daughter moved. So now we don't have any of those family. So what was the problem with the chief of police? He had his family in there, and that's why we couldn't control, we couldn't bring concerns out. Now that they're gone, we got another chief of police. He is doing better. He's working together. He listens to the concerns, complaints. He goes and visits the people who makes the complaints. So we are making a change with this new chief of police.
What's his name?
His name is Bill Moe. Bill Moe.
How do you spell the last name?
M-U-L-L.
And the city manager's name?
Jim Jeffers. J-E-F-F-E-R, yes.
And the mayor?
The mayor is Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D, Woods, W-O-O-D-S.
And who were these other people in the committee, the Browning and Conroe?
Dotson, Dwayne Dotson, he is an ex-city council member, and Browning, Brandon Browning is the other one who's in the Housing Authority Commissioners. Both of them are elected. Let me tell you what's going on there.
Well, no, housing commissioners, aren't they appointed by the city council?
No, it's by the mayor.
Appointed by the mayor.
Yes, sir. That's the only power he got there. He can appoint them whether you like it or not. The council got no say-so. And that's pretty sad. We're trying to change that. For the same reason, let me tell you about the housing, because this is where there's prejudice also. A lot of discrimination. Everybody's yelling we don't have enough houses, that we need to build houses. The Plainview Housing Authority was challenged, or they were given a mission to build houses. But the person that was there, they didn't want to do any houses because he didn't want to be competitive with his friends. So when they elected a new chairperson, which was Mr. Larry Dickerson, he was appointed as the chairperson, and then they appointed three Hispanic on the commission, Rafael Lopez, Irene Morales, and Leticia Pena, and also one white person, which is Brandon Browning. When all these four took the oath, they took the challenge, the mission that to build houses with the new chairperson, which was Larry Dickerson. And believe me, in 1996, they started building houses. They started building two houses, brand new houses. They bought five houses, remodeled, rehab those five houses, and they were gonna turn around and sell it to low-income poor people, so they can afford the houses. 2 years of rent, they will turn it around and they will put that as a down payment and sign a lease or contract with them. That will be the first house. Beautiful ideas they've created. They finished two houses, brand new. Contractors, engineers were all angry because they were doing it at very low cost. They done it for approximately $40,000, $45,000. On the west side of Plainview, they're building houses $80,000 and $100,000. When they are cut in half with the labor and people that are willing to work, $40,000 or $45,000. They went and saw these houses, bankers, contractors, Chamber of Commerce, Plainview Industrial Foundation. They went out there and looked at this, or they were surprised they could build that for less cost. So guess what happened? There were a lot of complaints to the mayor. To the mayor. We don't have this. Look what's happening to our engineer contractors. People out here, we cannot compete with those kind of prices. So after a year, they had to replace the commissioners, right? So guess what happened? They replaced Irene Morales and Leticia Pena, and they replaced it with Dwayne Dodson and with Elton Jackson, ex-city council member. And the only reason they got Elton as a council member, because Elton is a good friend of Dwayne, he follows, he leads. Whatever he votes, he votes. Well, that's when we started trouble. The five houses that we had, the four houses that were built, no go. No go for the first time, four people. They done, got the five houses and put it for a bid. They auctioned the five houses. The highest bidder, $70,000 for the five houses. Who bought it? One white lady with money. What happened to the five houses? The dreams for the people, the low income? It was dead. The mayor put it down. The mayor put his friend, Dwayne Dodson. He works with Dwayne Dodson with the insurance company. So they appointed Elton Jackson to help him out. Now we got the commissioner, Mr. Rafael Lopez is the only one in the commission there left and doing battles with him. He is tired because nobody wanted to listen to what he was saying, and sure enough, those four houses, you can trade if you got another house and get into that house and sell yours, a trade-in. They did not advertise. They don't want to sell it to low income. And we got four houses. And the man is saying, nope, nobody wants to buy. Nobody wants to buy. That's not true. We had two friends that they went to the bank, asked for loans. They were to average that their loan was going to approve, but these people stepped in and put a stop to everything. He called the banker and said, hey, we don't want to make deal no more. He called the financial, did I call you? Did I call you? Did I say I was going to finish? He said, no. Well, if I call you, then I want to conduct business. If I don't, you stay out of my business. So up to this date, we have not sold any of those four houses. The five houses for option, that were option, and the bid was the highest $70,000. It was this person that works with Dwayne Dodson. She does a lot of volunteer work, and she uses his office out there, so everybody had it. I found out Lloyd was behind the mayor of the city of Plainview. What kind of mayor do we have here? A lot of people are not aware of him. And that's the reason I'm going to do all my best, my ability. The people, whoever runs against him, I make sure that he's not going to win.
Well, if the charter now has a recall or impeachment procedure, you could do that in District 1, District 2, and for the mayor, no?
Right, correct. Uh-huh. But, you know, the mayor is running for re-election also. So you see, this is how we can go ahead. If he wins, we can do a recall. Yes, sir. We sure can. A lot of people, majority of the people, white and brown and black, are very angry at the mayor.
How many blacks are there?
We got a very small percentage. I think it was less than 17%.
And how many Hispanics are there?
But here with the majority, we're not the minority. We're approximately 48, 49. In school, we're already 54, 56% in school. But as here in the city, we're about 48, 49%.
Okay. This bid of $70,000, was it for each house or for all five?
All five houses. All five houses. You see, and that's where it hurts, because those five houses, they were rehab. They put money into it. And that's, you know, the housing authority house for the migrant seasonal workers are renting. And, you know, their money was being used to remodel the houses, rehab the houses, and they turn around and sell it for $70,000 all five houses. And now that I found out that all five houses were illegal, so they didn't appraise each house. He's a businessman, he should be aware. He's a realtor. And he's the chairperson of the Plainview Housing. He's the one who came up with the idea, let's have the houses, let's not sleep. Why? He's also an officer on the Realtor Association. So you see, I mean, we're not blind. We can see what's going on. But they're conducting because we don't have enough voice to recall or impeach the man, but we do complain a lot. Dwayne Dotson's idea was to sell those five houses. My saying, those five houses, they should have been appraised, and so at whatever the appraiser was. One house was given from the RTC, that was a government agency one long time ago, it's no longer in existence. One house, it says RTC, there's no title, there's nothing, a deed. And he also sold that, that's illegal. I think the Attorney General needs to be looking into this matter. For the same reason, RTC house was supposed to be given to a low income, poor people. But no, this house was included with the bid of the fire. So that's an illegal sale. And the man said, well, we're looking into it, my attorney. Well, deny the bids, wait until everything is taken care of with his attorney, clear title and everything. But no, the man accepted the bid. 2 weeks later, after they awarded the bid, the new owner has been owner for 2 weeks. Guess what Dwayne Dotson done? He went and put the heating system at all five houses. Spent thousands of dollars more. Why did he do that? It didn't belong to him no more. It belonged to the new owner. But again, like I said, the owner is a person that volunteers and does a lot of work for Dwayne Dotson at his office. See, it's a clique right there, all of them. The mayor, the Dwayne, the Brownie, and Nelson Jackson, and this lady who bought it. But nobody wants to look into it. I called the Attorney General. Yeah, well, we'll look into it. We'll look into it. But no, they're looking in somewhere else, not trying to accuse this other man that he done some wrong dealing. But this is the man Dwayne Dotson doing the wrong dealing here.
So now the relations with the police are all right? Or
it's getting better.
Have they ever harassed you or targeted you?
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, when I won the elections, they've been harassing my kids, my wife. They've been pulled over and asked for license and insurance. I recall one time that my oldest boy got so scared that he came back home and said, Dad, he said, where's the insurance for the van? I said, it's supposed to be in the pocket. Is this the one? I said, yes. Well, that officer so-and-so said that it was not, and he was going to give me a ticket that just because I was a city council member that he was not going to take any bull from him. And started say, calling names. And so I said, who was the officer again? I said, okay, I'll take care of it. So I went out there and said, hey, this is the insurance for the van. Now, what's the problem? Oh, I didn't say anything. I didn't do. Yes, you did. You got my son scared that you were going to give him a ticket you were going to do just because I was a city council member. Didn't mean bullshit to you. I said, you need to put us out. If you're going to come to me. Because you see, a lot of times on the police officers, I was saying there were some bad officers. When I say bad officers, I mean dirty officers. I'm not saying clean officers. I'm saying dirty. That go out there and harass a lot of kids, beat up kids, and also going out with younger kids. I could not prove it, but they knew what I was talking about. One officer, I recall this incident, grabbed this female by the hair. She was pregnant, threw her over the hood. And she made a complaint. They looked into it, and they didn't find nothing wrong, that he was conducting business and the lady interfered and so forth. But a pregnant woman's pulling her hair and throw it on top of a hood of a car, we had witnesses. The city, that's the old chief of police, he didn't want to conduct an investigation. So now what we're trying to do is bring other people to help us out to change the way the investigations are being done here in Plainview. Because the own officers, the same people, are doing their own investigation, that's not right. We either need the Texas Rangers or the AG to come up here and look into this matter. But once we're putting our foot down with this new chief of police again, you know, a lot of things are coming. We already lost 4 officers, so you know that tells me good that we're doing what we want.
Are there any Mexican American police officers?
Yes, sir. And that's kind of sad to say. We do have in the police force approximately 8 or 10. And it seems more like they're under pressure. The Hispanic police officers, they got to show to the white officers that they're not going to take any boo from the Hispanic. You have more of a chance to be excused from a white officer than from a Hispanic. And the reason is because they got a show that they took an oath as a police officer, and they're not going to tolerate any bull from anybody.
So how many police officers do you have total?
22, 24.
How big is Plainview?
Population is approximately 28,000. I believe it's 28.
Okay. If you were to lose this election, what would you do?
If I would lose this election, you know, what I would do is, I hope Irene can put me in an appointment to committees where I can be strong and still be active.
Okay.
But I'm going to continue to do what I always do, educate the Hispanic people, register them to vote, tell them what's important, and kind of exercise the right.
If you're to win, you're going to serve 4 more years, then what?
On the four, this is what I'm going to try and bring again here. Major repairs on street here on the east side of Plainview, because on the east side of Plainview, that's where a lot of minority poor people live. Their street, potholes, unfinished streets. And this is one of my main deals that I already brought it to the council and to the mayor. It was approved that we put tax money on the side, and that money is going to be used only to fix, improve streets.
What does the city of Plainview use their CDBG money for?
CBG money for?
Community Development Block Grant.
Okay, they're using it to invest on the west side, you know, making major streets out there, fixing up a lot of sewer curbs and a lot of things like that.
All the money goes into a general pot? It doesn't go by districts?
It doesn't go by district. I wish it would have go by district, because then each district would have got so much money, and we would repair the streets and alleys and, you know, sewer system and drainage and all of that. Because that's one of the things that the county commission does. They each get their own budget, and they do whatever the major would be. I wish we don't have it. We don't have it.
How do you get along with the city manager?
He's good. He's all right. You know, city manager is one of the person that gets a lot of pull with the council member. Because I have seen him, when he wants something to be approved, he'll talk to the right council members and he'll get it approved. So I talked to him, and he and I, we get along real good. He tells me, he calls me, gives me heads up when something goes wrong, faxes me paperwork, if something major happens or something very important that I need to know, he calls me. So he keeps me well informed.
You used the word leadership earlier when I asked you about candidates and things like that. What is leadership?
The leadership is a person taking the initiative on his own, trying to do what is right, trying to, lead, not be Apollo, but lead and explain. A person that can listen and talk and kind of defend what you're saying, what you believe. That's what, you know, I believe that leadership would be.
Who is the most effective Mexican-American political leader today?
Right now here, I would say there's three persons. One is Mr. Anofre in Nebosa. He's with the Frisco Bakery. He was a strong supporter of the LULAC. He started La Cámara de Comercio from Lavaco over here in Plainview. So he won a strong leadership in political. The other person is Arifa Vila, and then the other person would be myself.
Well, between you and Irene, who leads, or do you all share, or how do you do that?
That's a beautiful thing, that Irene and I, we work together. We don't care about the publicity, who gets it, or who gets recognized, no. And that's a beautiful part that we do, you know, that we need to work together to make the changes, because if I start looking like, no, I deserve the credit, no, it doesn't work that way. The credit is for the people that we're working for. And this is the part that I love from Irene and myself, that we work together, we communicate together, we bring ideas together, we support each other, and we have not argued, we have not debated against each other, for the same purpose that we need to help each other than to be against each other.
At the state or national level, who's the most effective political leader for Mexican America?
In the state level, to me, I admire el señor el Attorney General Dan Morales, the state level. For the same reason, I have talked to him for the past 3 years. I think I met him 5 times, and he gives me his time. We talk. We talk about what we need to change, and that we need to, you know, how we say, get our arms and start fighting back, because the Hispanic always sits down and let everybody else do all the work. So we need to start doing that. Dan Morales has been very, very helpful to me and informing.
But I thought you said that when you called them, his office, for these problems with the housing authority, they didn't respond or they looked somewhere else.
Well, the one that didn't respond was the aide, the person they direct me to. Because when I talked to Dan Morales, he said he was going to go in and look into it. When he did, he did. When I talked to the other aide, they didn't take care of this matter.
At the national level?
At the national level, vamos a ver. Well, I know many people on Senator Mr. Lucio, Eddie Lucio, verdad?
Okay.
Del Valle. He's from my hometown, Brownsville, Texas. I've been I have known Mr. Lucio very, very well. He's done a lot of changes down for the valley. And as a matter of fact, I believe that's one of the strong things about grant money for colleges out there también. That was a very strong issue out there.
Okay. Which is the most effective political organization for Mexican Americans?
Effective or defective?
Effective.
Effective. And one up here, us right here, is we LULAC.
Is that who brought the suit for a single member district?
That is correct. LULAC brought it in, the suit. He brought two suits, one for the county, for single member district for JP, Justice of the Peace, and the other one was for the single member district. And they won that. And also they won the county. And also LULAC brought the suit for the charter that it was discriminatory. But we lost that one.
When you say LULAC, but then you say he did. Who was he?
He, the attorney for the LULAC, can't recall his name, Rolando Rios.
Okay. What do you think is the most pressing issue facing Mexican Americans today?
That we don't vote. That we don't vote. There's a lot of things out there that, you know, there are people mandating this and we cannot be outspoken. Money being taken away from schools and programs being closed, and it's hurting the minorities, it's hurting us, but we don't go out and do something about it.
What are the relations like between blacks and browns? What are some of the problems, the underpinnings of tension?
Here in Plainview, and I've seen this in Plainview, the Hispanic, they do their own thing, and the black, they're doing their own thing. We got association here with the black people, and they try to do everything on their own instead of asking for some help or working together or joining forces, because if we would have joined forces, it would accomplish a lot. We would have. Because with all the Hispanic, 48 and 17%, and we would have put a Hispanic or a black person as a mayor. You see, with this four precincts here, again, it's kind of sad. Okay, we got white people instead of Hispanic or black people in there.
What about the other way around? You said they don't ask for help. Do you ask them for help?
Yes, sir. We sure do. We sure do.
And
we
what happens?
They help us out. There's a few of them that comes and help us out, comes to the city council meetings and be outspoken. We got Mr. N.C. Jenkins. He's a very well-known here in the city of Plainview. And we got Mr. Reverend Franklin. He's a preacher, one of the church. He's a very knowledge and outvoice person.
What's his first name?
Franklin. Gregory Franklin.
Okay. How about relationships between Mexicanos from Mexico and Chicanos from locally that have been here for some time? What are those relations like and what do they ought to be like?
The relations between them two are good. I don't see any problem because here at my office I do a lot of notary and also immigration paper, fill out applications for citizenship or residential. We started to do that 2 years ago and they know me, so we start working pretty good together. And they are aware of the problem also. Let me tell you, and this is because they're from Mexico City, they get more pressure, people from Mexico City, than people that are from here. The police department, they stop them anywhere, they're walking, and if they're PI, they'll pick them up. Even if the person is not PI. This thing happened a couple of times and I brought it out. This wife, of the three people, they asked for a ride, the wife gave them, these three guys arrived to their houses because they were in the bar. So this officer was out there close to the bar, the premises, and kind of pulled them over. And the wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm going to take these two people to the house, and I got my husband. We're going to go home." I said, "Well, I think they're drunk." And the bad part, you see what I'm saying? The woman was the driver, and the other three guys were the passengers. So he pulled them over, got the three people out. and said, "Hey, you guys been drinking?" They said, "Well, yeah, we told you that we just came from the bar." And said, "No, you guys are intoxicated. I'm going to take you all three of you in." And they charged all three of them for PI. I said, "Wait a minute, that's not right. If you drink, don't drive. And if you drive, don't drink. Give a designated driver." They did. Why would they have to take all three people? It didn't happen one time, it happened 10 times. And the people, the Mexico City, they went to the, what you call, in Midland, their representative from Mexico, and complained it. That person called me up and told me, "Hey, Mr. Rosas, I heard good things about you. You're a city council member. Look at here, what's happening." He said, "There's a lot of pressures out there, people against, from people from Mexico City." I said, "Yeah, I heard about that." And then he told me, "Well, I got about 10 names here that they are complaining about the police department out there." I said, "What are they?" And he told me that they were being picked for DWI, PI, and disorderly conduct, and the majority was PI and DWI. I said, "Yes, sir, that is happening. Are you doing something about it?" "Yes, sir, we are. And we are doing something about it. We're getting the police officers more educated. The chief of police, the new chief of police is helping us out. And we're trying to iron that problem." Because one time we were at church, the Catholic preachers were saying, "Hey, you know, us as Hispanic people, we got two names. Our given name, and then another one that they put us." I said, "Which is that?" "Now we're being called DWI." Because here in City of Plainview, the majority of Hispanic people are charged with DWI. You're lucky in 5 years, if not everybody here in Hispanic has been charged for PI or DWI. They're out there and they're just picking on people from Mexico City. They're the one that's worse, and then people from here, from the United States.
When you say Mexico City, you mean Mexico in general?
Yeah, well, people from Mexico.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Do you have any Mexican-American lawyers here? Anybody can defend these people?
We got one here, Mr. Daniel Garcia. And he does defend the people, but I guess you got to follow what the court says. I really don't understand. We get attorneys from Lubbock, Texas. They come up here and fight. And they do a good job. But here in City and Plainview, we do have a Hispanic attorney, but he won't do as much as an attorney from out of town, in other words, because either he's not gonna get as much privilege if he continues to work for the Hispanic people. In other words, I guess he's been threatened. And that's why a lot of people here, and I tell you the majority of the people, will go to Lubbock, Amarillo, and get you a Hispanic attorney to come in and fight.
Plainview is almost in the middle of Amarillo and Lubbock. What radio station do you listen to?
The radio station I listen to is Lubbock 93.7, Maxic 93. That's the one that has educational and play Tejano music.
The Spanish language station from Amarillo, the La Picosa, doesn't reach down here? Or?
It does. But one of the stations here that we, majority of the people will listen is 93.7 Maxic. El otro es 102 también from Lubbock, 102. Pero in Amarillo, as Cardi, I don't listen to the one from Amarillo.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your background. You said you were born in Brownsville, Texas. When were you born and who were your parents? Where were they from? Why did you come up here? How did that happen? Early childhood, any of that stuff? Who your wife is, your children?
I was born in Brownsville, Texas in September 11, 1954. I'm 43 years old. I was living in Brownsville all my years until 70 years old. I dropped out from high school, and in that time, you know, Vietnam was on and so forth. So what I done, I dropped out of high school and I joined the Marine Corps. And Mexicano, trying to be strong. Anyway, but I joined the Marine Corps in 73, I went to training, and then I was sent overseas. Since there, I had a good sergeant, and he beat the hell out of me, and I guess that's what he had to take. He beat me up. He said, "Mr. Rosa," he said, "what are you doing here?" He said, "You're a dropout. You got no education. You got no experience in doing anything. You're young. You're 18 years old here, and what are you going to do? Are you going to be a soldier here? Are you going to be a food soldier all your life? Are you going to be in the artillery all your life? Are you going to be a truck driver all your life? What do you want out of life?" He said, "If I were you, I'd take apprentice. Enroll in school here, get your GED, and go to night school. We got college, we got this, we got that." So I said, "You know, okay." I did. I enrolled in the GED, started taking courses, and I completed my GED. After that, I started taking some courses like security and MP, and so I changed my MOS and changed it to MP. So I got experience, so I love doing police work. So I said, now this is what I'm going to do when I get out. And, you know, my sergeant kept on drilling that to me and drilling that to me. He said, hey, when you get, you use your VA loan, get your GI Bill, the school can be, the college can be paid for you, take advantage. So that's what I done. When I got out of Marine Corps in 1975, I went for 2 years volunteer. I got on 75, first thing I done, enrolled in school, college. Second thing I done, I got married. Third thing, I got a job, working with the county. So I started going to high school, completed, got my 2 years certificate for security and law enforcement. And the more I worked in the county, the better education I was. And I love that. Instead of going out there working with my hands, like, because I used to be a carpenter when I was a young kid, helping my parents all the time. I said, working in the sun, you know, sweating, and I said, well, it was good money, honest work. But I said, no, this is not for me. So I completed my law enforcement, started working with the county. I had 6.5 years working with the county. I said, now, you know what? People, my friends say, Ray, put your application for the government. Hey, you're good. You're a veteran. You got your school. Put your application. So I did. So I put my application for the government, took a test, 3 different tests, and they said, Ray, you're a good inspector. So we're going to put you with the grain to do inspections at warehouses, feedlots, mills, elevators, and grade the seat itself. So that's what I've been doing for the past 12, 13 years that I've been working with the government. But the only condition that was in 1979 that I had to move to Plainview because of the work with USDA. Said, where do you want to move? They gave me 3 options, Houston, Pasadena, and Plainview. So I decided to come all the way to the West Texas up here. So I did. I moved in 1979. I started working for the federal government, and I was working for them for about 3 months here in Plainview when I started realizing. At that time, I had my wife, Irma Rosas, she works here with the Walmart Distribution Center for the past 10 years. I got 6 boys come in. I got 6 boys. My oldest boy is 21, and then 20 and 19, and then 17, 15, and 13 years old. And I got 3 of them that finished school, and 3 of them are still in school. One of them finished 1 year of college. I'm proud of them. They're proud of me because I've been one of the strong boys out here in Plainview, and everybody said, well, are you Ray's father? He said, yeah. Hey, we're proud of your dad. He's making a lot of changes, a lot of help up here. Let me tell you, when I moved up here in 1979, I was working for the government for 3 months. I was getting good pay. I was going out here with my family to eat on the restaurants here. And boy, people kind of stare at me like, who in the hell am I? And you know, what should he be here in this room? Can he afford it? Giving me dirty looks. And they're sinking to me, you know, that pressure. That I only saw that in TV. Being from Brownsville, where we're the majority out there, Hispanic, and we got lawyers, we got judges, we got commissioners, we got senators, we got everybody Hispanic out there. So I never saw any prejudice there in Brownsville. But I would see in TV how it was prejudice with the black, how the white people were treated, Hispanic people, the black people, how they had the water for the black people and water for the white people, how everything was divided. Well, when I moved up here in 79, I started seeing some of this here. And especially in Hereford, Texas, because that's where I used to go out there and inspect some of the elevators, I started this prejudice, like, what am I doing here and so forth? And they were sinking to me. So one day I asked my boss, and he's a white person. I said, hey, why are the people every time I go to a restaurant, or I come out of a restaurant, people like looks dirty to me? So he explained, Ray, this is a prejudice now. A prejudice now? I said, yeah. See, remember that what you see on TV? I said, well, this has happened here, happened in Hereford, happened everywhere. He said, wow. I said, I was amazed. And that's the only reason that I started getting more involved in politics, to make the changes, because we're not on the 40s, we're not on the 50s no more. We're on the 90s. We're going here in the 20th century. We should not be prejudiced. Everybody has an equal opportunity.
Can we get some names here? The names of your boys, the names of your parents, the names of that sergeant?
Andale. Name of my boy, the oldest boy, is Ray Reynaldo Rosas Jr., Renee, Rodney, Randy, and Rocky.
All ours.
All 6 boys, and all of them ours. My father, he was born and raised in Brownsville, Texas, Luis Rosas Jr., and my wife, his wife, because my mom, Cristina Aguilar Rosas, she passed away in 1978. So that was another reason that I moved to Plainview. I had nothing more to live out there in Brussels, so I moved up here. My father is músico. He's a musician out there, born and raised out there. Una guitarra, I guess that's because since he was a kid, he was always playing the guitar. He had his own band. He was very well known down in the valley. My brothers, my oldest two brothers, Guadalupe and Robin, they're also musicians, and they also play in the band. And I got one sister who lives in San Antonio, which is Nora, and she also lives in San Antonio, and she and I are kind of the youngest kid, but we talk to each other a lot. And she told me about everything that's going down in Brownsville, the changes, and I told her what's going on here. My Sergeant Aguilar, who was in the Marine Corps, he was the one who kind of educated me, took care of me, I guess took me under his wing and guided me through all of this. Because I tell you, if it wasn't for him, I guess I would never got my GED or any education there.
Well, you also said that Sergeant Aguilar beat you, literally?
Yes, literally, choked on me and beat me up. Because, I mean, trying to put things in my mind, because, you know, I'm not saying I was stubborn or anything, but I guess a lot of times beating you up makes you realize, hey, this is the real thing. It's no joke, you know. I guess it takes, because when you're fighting out there, shooting somebody, and you think, oh, this is a cartoon, if you get hit, nothing's going to happen. But no, Sergeant Aguilar, he's been in tour two times. He was out there in tour twice. So he knew what he was doing, and he wanted to take care of his man, and he bit at me, and I guess that worked. It worked, because I tell you, I woke up.
Well, he must have been a real big guy, because you're not a little guy.
Oh, no. He was big, and he was strong. A lot of us, we admire him, because he was our sergeant, and, you know, he had more experience and knowledge, and he knew what he was talking about. He saw more than what we did, and that's the only reason that, you know, we're here, because of him. We had one mate, he didn't make it, but, you know, we always appreciate it. Era un puertorriqueño that had passed away.
And in high school and junior high, were you active in any clubs or politics, or
No.
Did you play sports?
When I was in school, yes, I did take sports. I played football, played basketball, and ran in track. Mine was long distance in track. I used to love to run long distance all the time, 880 in the mile run. That was my favorite sport. In high school, I mean, the same thing. I was good playing basketball. I didn't play football, but basketball and track took a lot of my time. Another thing, you know, I kind of broke my parents' heart when I volunteered for the Marine Corps. Here I was almost a junior. No, I was a junior, and I had one more year to finish school, but I didn't. I dropped out.
Why'd you do that?
I guess, I wouldn't say pressure, but I guess all my friends were taking off, and everybody was talking about the Vietnam and here the Marine Corps, how good it was and so forth. So I followed one of the steps. I mean, I guess in that time I was a follower, I was not a leader. Because I know that two of us, we went together, but only I left. He failed his physical, so he was sent back, and I was the only one taken off.
What's the name of the band of your father?
The band used to be Los Demantes, and then they changed it to Lee Rosas and Los Demantes. That was the band. My brother, my second oldest brother, he used to play with Mas. With them, Chepe, I call him Chepe, and Jimmy. They were young, and they formed a group, my brother, Chepe, and Jimmy, and then Raul Torres. They formed a band, and they were playing out there. They played pretty good, they were good, and then they broke, and that's when Chepe started getting the Mas together, and they got it, and they made it big. But my brother also plays out there in Brownsville, and the grupo se llama Malos, and they're a pretty strong group out there.
Okay. Well, tell me about your wife. Where did you meet her, and where did she come from?
Well, I tell you, it's a hard life for my wife here, because when we were young, I think she was about 15 years old. I was 17 years old. No, she was 14 years old, and I was 16 years old when I met her. We start going out, we talk to each other, and his father was pretty strong, and in esos tiempos la pandilla, you know, was strong over there. He had 11 brothers, so my wife, which was my girlfriend at that time, was telling me how bad their uncles was and how they stabbed people and shot people. And I thought maybe all of it was because she didn't want to go out with me. But no, it was true. I'll tell you one thing, that's a very hard life. My wife and I, we were out for 2 years. When I came back, we were still going. That's when we decided to go ahead and get married. My wife went through a lot, waiting for me to come back from the military. And during that time, her father got killed, her uncle got killed, her brother got killed because of La Pandilla. You know, and here, you know, she went through a lot. And then when I got out of the service, I was there, her mom passed away. So she has no father, no mother. And so I told my wife, you know what, we got nothing here in 79. Let's go ahead and pack up and move to Plainview and start a brand new life out there. She said, yes, let's go.
What's her maiden name?
Her Peña. Peña.
Okay. Well, Ray, I don't have any other questions. Is there anything you want to say or an area we didn't cover or something you want to talk about? Anything you want to say?
Well, there's a lot of things here, but the only thing that I would like to say, you know, that we got to encourage each other, support each other, Hispanic people, and try to be all we can be. For the same reason, here in the city of Plainview, I hate for my kids or anybody kids go through a lot of discriminatory, prejudice. And, you know, because here, you know, I tell my boys as well as everybody, you need to finish your high school. It's very important, education. Go to college. High school is not sufficient anymore, like it used to be. Now you gotta have a college degree to get good jobs. And if you've got your college degree, you got a professional job, apply for the position you really want and desire. I'm gonna tell you one thing in here, and you know, my politics is not over, because I'm planning to run for JP. Gracias, Mr. Rolando Rios, the LULAC representative, que perdió for the county precinct, because we only had two precincts here for JP, and both of the positions was, the seat was by white people. So you see, the population for Hale County should have been before JP. So when he put that lawsuit against the county, they accepted the withdrawal. They said, all right, we'll comply. So the year 2000, there are gonna be two more seats for JP, and I'm gonna be one of them that was gonna be running for JP. So that's the reason I'm saying my politics are not over. I'm getting a lot of experience, a lot of support. My name's getting recognized. So I'm gonna be running for JP or judge or whatever I can, because if I can do it, anybody can do it also.
Are any of your children following your footsteps?
Yes, sir. My second oldest boy, Renee, he can debate. Yeah, I put him in the school for debaters. He went to Lubbock, he went to, Pueblo Colorado. We try to encourage my boys, because he can argue a point and not get mad. And I told him, Mijo, you know, you got good head, you can be an attorney. If you don't want to be an attorney, be somebody here on the official, be a judge, be a mayor, do whatever you want. But he's a debater and he can debate, he knows what's going on, he sees the prejudice himself. And that's the reason that he is encouraged, and you know, he sees me, what I'm doing, he's doing it. Same way.
Is the younger generation getting along better? Are there Mexican boys and Anglo girls going out, or Mexican girls and Anglo boys going out, or blacks?
Yes, they're getting together. I don't see any pressure, because I see black and Hispanic going together with the female male, vice versa, con los bolillos también going out with black, or black going out with white people. So the younger generation are getting a lot better than what I was. Because at that time, you know, brown with brown, black with brown was not permitted, or was something hateful or something. But no, this younger generation, their eyes are open and they don't see any problem, no discriminatory on that relationship.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time out on Sunday and in the middle of your campaign. I'm sure you got other things to do.
Oh, yes, sir. Sure. Well, I thank you. If there's anything I can help you or anybody, just give me a call. My office, the door is always open to you and everybody.
We do need an address to contact you about the finished product.
Okay.
So if you have a business card, I'll take that. Or if you want to say the address with zip code, I'll be glad to mail you.
I can do both. The address here is P.O. Box 762, Plainview, Texas, zip code 79072. And I'll give you a business card.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. Thank you.